When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to another episode of Sorry in Advance, the Golic Family Podcast. Now, here's the point where you would actually be listening to my son, Mike Jr., introduce the seven of us in the Golic family to go over what we go over and our way of life and the stupid things we do to try and make you laugh and probably make you gasp and listen to my daughter, Sydney, swear a whole lot. But this is going to be a different episode. This is going, we are looking to help one of our own is what we're looking to do. So obviously everybody knows Stu Gotts. If you don't, Stu, Dan Le Batard, Stu Gotts been ruling the world for a while now in the podcast world. Stu is Stupidity. I joined him for God Bless Football. Stu is world renowned. We brought Stu on and it's just me and my daughter, Sydney. And we brought Stu Gotts on because this episode is going to be about athletes in college and how they act, especially daughters. So I've explained my family, and one of them, my daughter Sydney, was a scholarship swimmer at Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. Stu has two daughters now going to college. These are your girls. You have nobody else in college, right, Stu?
No, these are my only two daughters.
This is it.
Yes. Okay. Yes. All right. There's not a son I'm aware of or another daughter, to be honest with you.
Just want to make sure your daughter.
I'm not saying they're not out there.
No, I know.
I'm not aware of them. Right.
That's why I said that. So your daughter Emma's going to Syracuse. She's gonna have the normal college life there. And your daughter Rachel is a scholarship athlete going to play lacrosse at Northwestern. She was one of the top recruits and is one of the top schools in the country going to Northwestern to play lacrosse, correct?
That is correct, yes. Okay. She's going to Northwestern, the other going to Syracuse. Northwestern, I will just remind you, beat Notre Dame just a couple of weeks ago. I just threw that in. It was unnecessary. I just wanted to remind you.
You are now going to get questions from Sid that I told her probably not to ask.
I came up with some really not doozies. Okay ones. Yeah.
So this is what we're going to do.
This is a dangerous game, I must tell you. The most dangerous of games. Taking questions from Sid Golic. Yeah. I mean, there is not another Golic I would less rather take questions from than Sydney.
The biggest
loose cannon in the family, yeah. So, Stu, you've been poking the Sid Golic bear for long time. And she's got you lined up.
Don't act like you're not a little interested in what the questions are.
I'm very, very interested, Sid. And I will tell you this, and I'll remind your dad of this, okay? The only reason I tune into that podcast while I love the Golic family is to hear you, Sid Golic, swear. Okay. So don't stop cursing. Okay. Ever.
Never.
That'll never happen. So what we want to do in this episode is take Sydney's experience as a scholarship athlete at a D1 school and kind of ask you questions about the expectations of your daughter, Rachel, as a scholarship athlete going to a Division I school and just in general, daughters going away to college. So first and foremost, the thing that affected me the most, and it still affected me as Sid is getting ready to get married in a few weeks, is will your daughter, Rachel, have an unlimited credit card in college?
Wow, that's a good...
It's a hot start.
Did not ease into this pool.
Well, no, and Mikey, he should know me well enough to know if he thinks I thought this far in advance.
No, I know you haven't. I know you haven't.
Like, I'm certain my wife has thought of this, and perhaps she'd be the better one to talk to.
Right.
I'll do that for a separate episode.
Yeah, I'm sure Abby will have all the answers to this and probably rule the roost here, but I want to hear what you believe the answers should be.
I want to say yes, and here's the reason why. Rachel, yes. Emma, no. I am paying the full freight on Emma, okay? Rachel worked her ass off at her particular sport, the sport of lacrosse, where at least I'm getting a little relief for the tuition. And so I think just an extension of that would be to give her a credit card with a far greater spending limit than the one I'll give Emma. So
you're saying there's going to be a limit?
I am saying, gosh. I'd like there to be a limit.
There's not going to be a limit.
I'm not giving her an Amex, I can tell you that much. Sid, can I not get a card that has like a $5,000 a month limit on it? I can't do that.
I wouldn't know of those cards. Yeah.
Dabble in those cards.
Not familiar with the
first thing Sid brought up was the fact of where Rachel is going to school and what is right near her and why.
Chicago, it's a big city. It's getting pretty expensive. Like, you got to take that into consideration as well. So
I do. Not just Chicago, Evanston, which is very expensive as well. Yeah. It's like 15 minutes outside of Chicago. Rachel likes to go out. She likes to do stuff. She loves going to sporting events. She'll go to some Cubs games. Damn it, Mike. She will have, the card will have a limit on it. Whether or not she adheres to that limit is yet to be seen. My guess is she will not, okay?
Yeah, she's not going to adhere to that limit. She'll hit that limit way earlier than you want and give you a reason on why it should be extended. So
okay, great.
Okay, so
Mike, help me out here. When you got the credit card bill, did you itemize it? Did you go over to see what Sid was spending money on?
He doesn't even know how to fucking log in to see what I spend. So,
but Chris does go through the itemized list with me
sometimes. Right.
And sometimes, and I mean, it's the fucking Blow Bar. It's where else you spend all your money? Right. I mean, it's like you got two hands and you got a blow dryer. Blow out your own fucking hair.
I don't get it.
So wait till those start coming in.
There's a bar that you go to get your hair blown. I see.
Yes, okay. Yes, wow, that's exactly.
What a total waste of money, Sid.
No shit.
Promise you, especially being in Chicago area, Rachel will have some sort of dry bar account or spending on her credit card at some point.
Sid, you are right. I'm certain she will.
Here's what we found out. If she does that, if she gets a subscription, Sydney, would you like to tell us about the $80 we've been paying a month for the last 5 years?
It hit at a very bad time during the pandemic. So when I was living in the Northern Birds of Chicago with Ben, my fiance, we had to live up there. There was a blow bar. It was equivalent to a dry bar. It's a place where you go get your hair blown out. And I was going there a fair amount. So naturally I signed up for the membership when they asked me to. Yeah. And we moved out of Chicago, two and a half years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bad timing, pandemic hit. I totally fucking forgot I had this membership.
They got you, Sid. That's how they get you.
No, that's exactly how they give you.
They give you a 2 week free trial. Like,
yeah. And then you forget for 2.5 years.
So over three.
Wait, when's the last time Sid's been to said blow bar? Okay.
Oh. I haven't been to the one. It's in Vernon Hills, Illinois. The last time I went was probably January of 2020.
Get ready for this, Stu. We've over 30 months at $80 a month, we have paid for nothing. So our point is, Rachel is going to do this. There's going to be some subscription she gets somewhere that, you know how they work. You have to like go through a bunch of hoops to cancel them, and you're going to be paying money. That's just the way it's going to be.
Mike, it's the podcast world.
Yeah. Exactly right. Okay. So
don't bash it, Mike. It's a great model. Okay. It's the one that keeps us going. Okay?
That's true.
Wait, Mike, you have spent, if my math is correct, it's been about 2 years. You have spent about $1,900. Yes. A blow bar, and Sid has not been there once.
Yes.
I've been to other blow bars in the country, but not that one.
I mean, Sid, that's just waking up and saying, how can I waste my parents' money today?
It's exactly right. She's been to other of these blowout bars to where I'm spending money on that and still spending the $80 a month on the one she isn't at anymore.
Sid, you know there's an app for that, right? Where you can get Truebill, Mike. It will take all these subscriptions that you don't know you have, and it will cancel them for you, okay? Let's get them on this show, Mike. It's called Truebill, okay?
Oh! Their face right now is just of utter shock, like it has never occurred to them that somebody else could be taking care of this for them.
Our life will never be the same.
Holy shit, that's a great job, Stu. We're supposed to be helping you with your daughter's going to college, and you have just helped us.
Well, listen, I will tell you that I had a Stamps.com account, okay? and I've never used it. I like to go to the post office. I don't want to print out stamps. There's something, Mike, we're old. There's something cathartic about walking into a post office and handing someone my mail. And so I was paying like $42 a month for stamps until I signed up for Truebill.com. And I'm doing an ad for them. And then I realized they told me, hey, you have this subscription. You haven't used it. You're being charged $40 a month. Would you like us to eliminate it for you? To which I simply responded, yes. And they got rid of it for me. So just something to think about.
Listen, we need Truebill to sponsor the show because Chris just told me about the exact same scenario with Stamps.com as well. Stamps.com, obviously not going to be a sponsor of this show.
I know.
But Truebill will. Okay.
We'll still get stamps, Mike. I'm good.
So before we get into the actual, you know, life of a college student, let's get into the sports side of it. So again, my daughter Sydney was a scholarship athlete, swimmer. Mm-hmm. I never coached her in swimming, coached her in soccer and basketball and such, but always went to practices, was always involved. And I know, Stu, you not only are an involved parent, you're a coach. You're a coach who's been kicked out of tournaments.
Yes.
You're a hardcore coach. So first, Sydney, before we get to Stu, have I ever jumped in hostily toward any other parent or coach or official during your time?
Not that I know of. I would say it's probably a little bit different, especially once I just started swimming and only swimming, because it's such an independent sport. It's not as much of a team sport. So you were pretty good. You kind of kept your shit together for the most part, unless I blocked some.
No, I kept my shit together, which leads us to the 180 we're going to do here with Stu. So Stu, again, coached his daughters, had one of the top teams, if not the top team in the country. Mm-hmm. And just so everyone understands, you have been kicked out of a tournament, right?
Yeah, I have been kicked out of a couple of tournaments, Mike.
So yes. let's first start this way. If you're in the stands watching your daughter, Rachel, play at Northwestern, and an official makes what you deem to be a bad call against your daughter, what will your reaction be?
Oh, wow. This is going to be so tricky and difficult for me. Because I've never been on that side of the field before. I've always been on the coach's side of the field. And of course, I would yell at the coach yell at the ref if he made any sort of bad call, not just against my daughter, just against my team. So, man, how am I going to channel that? Oh, Jesus. Wow. So he makes a bad call specifically against my daughter.
Your daughter.
On my daughter.
And
right.
Again, you are
on my daughter.
She is playing on one of the premier teams in the country. Where
no doubt.
And it's a classy organization as well. How are you going to react? How are you going to muck it up?
Oh, boy. I know what my wife wants me to do. I know what my daughter expects me to do. But my wife wants me to do plenty. My daughter expects a lot of me, and I never deliver. I'm going to scream at the fucking referee, okay? I'm telling you right now. At least the first couple of games. I don't know how to rein it in. Like, it's going to take me a few games, man. I will yell at the referee.
Will you sit in the stands, or are you going to be a guy, because you haven't done it, I guess you may not know, will you be able to sit in the stands, or are you going to be kind of that roamer?
Mike, I like to pay, you know me, I can't sit still.
I was going to say, I totally envisioned you just like pacing the whole time.
So Sid, it's funny, when I coached, I paced watching a Jets game. I paced just talking to Mike on the phone. I don't even like driving. I would rather walk to work. I'd rather pace to work. Wow, this is going to be tough. First off, I'm a pacer. I'm not going to sit still. I can't sit still. I don't want to deal with the other parents as well. Okay.
So right.
I got to pace around. Now, Sid, when I was coaching, I would pace the sidelines and I would hold a lacrosse stick because I needed.
Oh, tell me you're not going to hold a lacrosse stick.
Oh, is that embarrassing?
Oh, no, your daughter will lose her shit if you do that.
She'll lose her shit.
She was embarrassed when I held the lacrosse stick just as a coach. Can you imagine me as a parent facing up and down? Now, with lacrosse, it's funny, Mike, because you follow your daughter. So first half, I'm always on the attack side. She plays attack.
Right.
So I'm always on the attack side. So the second, so I'll flip-flop sides. So I imagine myself walking behind the goal, pacing back and forth with a stick in my hand.
Rachel's teammates are going to be like, what the fuck's wrong with your dad?
Listen, her current teammates say, what the fuck's wrong with your dad? So I would expect that. Man, A funny thing happened, though, Sid, okay? Like, the teammates started realizing, oh, Rachel's dad can help me in other areas outside of lacrosse. Like, someone want to get into media. Can you introduce me to this person? Like, Mike Golick Sr., you know, like, stuff like that. And so they became very friendly with me very quickly. Mike, I'm going to pace. I can't sit still. I'm going to pace. I'm going to yell at referees, at least for the first half of the first season, because I don't know any better, okay? That's just the way I am. Right. But I will ask you a quick question, and I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Is it harder? Was it harder for you to play the sport? Because I played lacrosse.
Much harder to watch.
Harder to watch, Sid.
Much harder to watch. Much harder to watch your kids swim. The kids do any sports growing up, and then when they get to that, you know, with both boys out playing football and Sydney swimming, it's horrific because you see the work that they've put in, and you want so badly for your kid to succeed.
Okay.
And if they don't, I mean, you die inside for them.
Yes.
Because they can't. And here's the biggest difference is when you're on the lacrosse field or I'm on the football field, what can we do? We can control the situation. When we're on the sidelines, we can't. We just have to watch. So
As a coach, I could, but as a fan, as a parent, I cannot.
That's very difficult
for me.
Hey, hey, Stu, you're done being a coach.
I know.
Your coaching days are over.
I don't want to be done.
So everything is apparent now. And yes, it's going to be a lot harder to just watch her.
All right, so Sid, just so I'm clear, I can pace. I cannot hold a stick. Is that?
No, that's getting a little too sketchy, holding the lacrosse stick. Pacing's fine. Holding an object in your hand while pacing, not fine. So,
okay, good.
All right, so
I'm going to do my best. I'm writing some of this down. I'm going to do my best.
Take notes.
Another one about sports, again, before we get into the college life.
Oh, boy.
Now, what if, the Northwestern coach is a renowned coach. Correct?
Yes. Right? Yeah, she is like the Bill Belichick of women's lacrosse coaches.
So what if Rachel were to call you one day and say, Dad, I don't like the way the coach is using me, or I have a problem with the coach and this or that. I'm not saying that she's going to tear up like that. I don't know her enough. Maybe she'll just say, Dad, this fucking coach is driving me nuts. So whatever way she does it, how do you handle that situation?
Wow. Besides saying transfer portal, All right, so she calls me. She's upset. Coach isn't using her correctly.
Upset about the coach was something. So
she thinks she should be playing more.
Right.
And I have spent the last 2 years saying I could not send you to better people, to better coaches than the ones I'm sending to you right now.
Right now, so she is calling you, looking for your sage advice on what she should do.
Oh, because Mike, you know me, I'm tempted to say, Rachel, I got this. We'll talk in a few hours. And I call the coach myself.
I kind of had a feeling you were going to say that.
Well, Sid, is that not what I should do? Because that's what I want. That's what I would do. I think I feel like I would do that.
Yeah, definitely.
Should he do that?
Oh no, God, no. I would say I would guess that you would do that, but you 100% can't do that.
But there's a reason Rachel's calling me now. So I have to read through what Rachel is telling me here. Is she asking me for advice? Is she asking me? Because my natural reflex there as a protective dad is to call the coach and say, hey, daughter could have gone to Syracuse. She could have gone elsewhere. She's not playing enough. What the hell is going on? But I really can't do that to Bill Belichick. I mean,
so Sid, what should he say to his daughter?
Oh my gosh, that's really hard.
I know.
Coming from, I had 3 coaches in 4 years at Notre Dame as a swimmer. Okay. It was like worst case scenario.
That's brutal, right?
Yeah, absolutely brutal.
So you're not a parent yet.
I'm not.
So Sid, let me just.
It's hard for me because I'm not a parent.
Well, Sid, let me say this. The coach she'd be calling about is the winningest coach in the sports history. And she's won 7 national championships since like 2004.
I would tell her.
But she knows what she's doing.
I would tell her to probably just trust the process a little bit and to probably just trust the coach from the way that this coach sounds. Like,
if she hasn't already done it, you should tell her, go talk to the coach.
Right.
You got to communicate. You can't.
You want
your heart.
You want her to do it. You don't want to do it yourself.
Okay.
You don't want to be involved. And I know this is all going to be hard for you.
Which is really like when they're people on the team come and talk to them to discuss things.
Yeah, they don't want mommy or daddy doing it.
No.
Okay. All right.
You're right. This is a whole podcast of the Golics telling you not to be used, Stugatz. Yeah. And I'm I know, here for every
minute
of it.
I know. I know. What makes me, they're telling me, nope.
Sue,
no
it's
more.
Listen, it's a different world. And I know you had like the top team in the country, so you were at the elite level. But well, this now is a different level.
No, Mike, I know, and Kelly Hiller-Amante is by far, Kelly Amante Hiller, excuse me, Scott Hiller, the associate head coach, they're married. She is far more accomplished of a coach than I am, obviously, but I feel like I know the sport really, really well, and so it's going to be not as well as she does, okay, not as well as anyone on that coaching staff, but I did coach a team at the highest level of travel lacrosse. You know, 10th and 11th grade, they didn't lose a game in 2 years. So there's a part of me that wants to say, hey, you know, coach, I know what I'm doing. I didn't lose a game for 2 years. To which she would spit back at me, I've won 7 fucking national championships.
Yeah. And that would be
I know what
of
I'm doing.
Right.
Yeah. So. End of conversation.
Sent Rachel back further, right? I think.
Yeah.
I
feel like. Yeah. Let me just say, if you go and talk to the coach, you're not going to help the situation.
Okay. But okay. Mikey, how about this? I tell Rachel, who's the person who's stealing your playing time?
Oh, God.
Take her out.
Oh, God.
I'm joking. I wouldn't do that.
I've made similar comments before.
Yeah, so, yeah. Sid has. Yeah. And Sid, quite honestly, you put enough cash in front of Sid's face and she'll do it for you.
I'll do anything.
Okay. I might have Saul the coach for me.
There you that would be it.
I got you.
All right.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
So we've covered the sports side of it. Now, your daughter is a scholarship athlete, big time walking onto campus there, and now she is also a college student living the college life.
Yeah.
So, Sid, what do you think that for one of the first questions you would ask would be?
Boys. So say, I didn't have this experience in college because I didn't date anyone, but say one of your daughters calls Rachel, Emma, and they're like, Dad, not coming home for Thanksgiving. Quarterback of the football team. We've been dating for a little bit. He wants me to come home, meet his family for Thanksgiving.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But
it's
it is
real.
The quarterback of the football team.
No.
If it's the nose guard, huh? You know.
It's the head of the
defense. What's wrong with the nose guard?
I don't know what I'm doing there.
Pick
anyone.
A student. Jim from psychology.
But I need to know if he's an NFL prospect or not. I'd be okay.
It makes a difference, right?
It really does. But, yeah.
All right, then let's just say he's not an NFL prospect at this point.
Okay.
Because so her season isn't going on yet, right?
And her season doesn't start until after Christmas break.
So, Mom, Dad, listen, met a guy. We've been seeing each other a little bit. He doesn't live far from here. He wants me to come hang out with his family for Thanksgiving.
So I've dropped them off at college. I haven't seen them for 3 or 4 months.
You haven't met this guy.
I haven't met the guy. This is the first I'm hearing about the guy.
Yes, exactly.
And the first I'm hearing is, hey, I'm not coming home to see you. I'm going to his house for Thanksgiving. I would probably tell her, well, A, you're not. If you want to spend time with him over Thanksgiving break, he's invited to our house for Thanksgiving. That way I get to meet him on my home court. You know what I'm saying?
It's fair.
It's fair until she throws a hissy fit. Because she's not getting her way like this one next to me would do. Okay.
Well, Mike, how does this work? Because I imagine as they get older, your word means less and less. Like if you say get home, she might, by telling her to come home, she might go far away.
That's exactly right. That's why you got to, it's different than high school now. I mean, now, you know, you're meeting guys in college, you know, guys who, you know, not high school boys anymore. You're meeting college men, supposedly. And she may be like, no, Dad, you're going to ruin it for me. You know, he wants me to go to his house. So what I normally did in that situation is I said, Chris, what do we do?
Stu, are you giving an ultimatum you ultimately don't want the answer to?
Yes. You're drawing a line in the sand.
Wow. I am very much, I have been, like, I trust my girls, man, and they've been great. So I very much, I do, like, they haven't broken that trust. Like, they know, Mike, when I speak to them firmly, they know I'm fucking serious because sure. I rarely do it, okay?
Listen, all kids normally know when their parents are really, really serious.
Yeah, but I would, so what I feel like I'm going to do is be really serious, but put it under the Abby umbrella. Like, right. Hey, your mom really wants you home for Thanksgiving. Get home for Thanksgiving. And I think, I'd like to think they would still do that for mom. Ooh, this is a tough one. I tell her to get her ass home for the first Thanksgiving.
Okay. All right. Like, all right.
She wants to bring the guy home. That's fine. I'm okay with meeting him, but you're coming home for the first Thanksgiving.
Okay.
I
fair.
Think, I hope.
Okay. Fair. Next question. This is college now, and this is the way it works. Sid, how old were you when you started hanging out in the bars?
This is going to make me seem like such a fucking degenerate. Yeah. I was like 15, 16.
Yeah.
But that's because I had older brothers. Like,
right. So, and I will say,
don't feel bad about that.
I will say it was different for Sid because the boys were in college and the other guys truly treated Sydney like a younger sister.
Right.
They truly did. And they protected her. We actually felt safer with her in a bar at Notre Dame than we did at a high school party.
100%.
Where people are driving everywhere and they're not doing that at Notre Dame. So, where and again, I have a son, Mike, who 2 months into his freshman year at 18 years old was arrested for underage drinking, went to jail, the whole deal. So, what's that situation like for you? What if something like that comes up? This is real now.
Just say like she's at a house party that and the cops come.
Yeah, that's like, what Mike was at a house party. It got busted. Mike called me at 3:15 in the morning, said, "Dad, we're all getting arrested for underage drinking." And then realistically, Mike had maybe 2 beers, but it doesn't matter because you were underage.
He was underage.
He was underage. Everybody, let me just
say, terrible job by the cop, by the way. I mean, seriously.
Well, they arrested 49 people, to which I said, Mike.
College party, give me a break.
Exactly right. And this was on a work night. I had to go on ESPN because Mike hit the bottom line. This one on ESPN. Right. So I had to go
explain really?
It. Wow. Oh yeah. And everybody asked me if I was, you know, how I punished them or how mad. I said, listen, I told the kids a couple things when they went to college. Don't drink by yourself. Mm-hmm. Never travel alone. Always be in a group.
Yes.
You know, and be careful that way. Never drive. And they didn't. They always took cabs. He got busted. And I was like, you know what? Bad luck. He got busted. So be it. You know, right. I wasn't pissed for any other reason for that.
Right.
But it,
you got to live and learn, Mike. You have
to. It happens in college, but now it happens to one of your daughters.
Now you're saying the exact same thing happens, not just going to a party, but she gets arrested.
No, right? She gets arrested. She has a couple of beers, just socially, just having a couple beers, and she gets arrested.
And I get the call.
You get the call. Now, what the team does is different. Like Charlie Weiss was a coach then, and Charlie Weiss made Mike run at like 5 a.m. and throw up for a couple of weeks. And that was basically it.
Right, because Charlie never had a beer before the age of 21.
Well, listen, Charlie was
how about
cool
Charlie
about it?
Run some sprints. Listen, how about that?
Charlie was, in all honesty, Stu, Charlie was very cool about it. He said, listen, I have to do something. You know, I mean, so he goes, I'm just going to do this. And then we're done with it. So it's cool. So now this is your situation. Forgetting what may happen sports-wise, how are you dealing with this?
So, first off, I say the same things. Like, oh, have fun. Be cognizant of who you're with, who you're talking to. Don't go to the bathroom alone. Stuff like that. Like, always have some friends that you trust that are around you. The obvious stuff, don't drink and drive, all of that. But a cop, much like the cop at Notre Dame, who has nothing better to do than to go to a college party where he knows underage kids are drinking at said party and wants to arrest 46 of them because...
Yep.
Well, he's got
with
nothing.
Dogs.
Yeah, right.
With dogs. There were dogs at Mike's. Yeah, because I asked Mike, why didn't you run? He said, Dad, they had dogs. I said, good move, not run.
And Mike, you know this, within the team, they kind of police themselves, right? Yeah. So I feel like Rachel would be fine. I feel like she'd actually call the coach or one of her teammates before she called me. Emma, on the other hand, would definitely call me. Jeez. I'm not going to be upset with her, okay?
Yeah,
like, she's going to college, she's partying, she's drinking. I'd probably get upset at the cop, to be honest with you.
Right, right.
Like, hey, what are you doing putting my daughter in jail? She's 18 years old. She was doing what every other college kid, including yourself, and including what your kids are going to do at some point in life, What the hell are you doing? Why are you taking it out of my daughter? I would probably defend her. I try to get her out some way. Or I tell her, hey, you just got to spend the night in jail. That's the deal. Like, you did something wrong, you got to spend the night in jail.
Right.
But I would certainly try to get her out, and then I would blast the cops. I would use this platform exactly for what it's supposed to be used for. I would embarrass the shit out of that cop and the entire force up at Syracuse, okay? All of them. Every
wow.
one of them.
Wow.
And then you get arrested again, right, Sid?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, then the cops are looking for you. You got everything you do publicly will come back on your daughter then. You have to understand that as well. It may make you feel better for that unlimited amount of time, but then it's going to come back on your daughter.
I can't believe I'm blasting the cop. I mean, technically my daughter did do something wrong. I mean,
well, yeah, I mean,
jaywalking.
What I told Mike was whatever comes your way, you have to serve because, you know, while I am not mad about it, because I understand it's college and we all did that. Anybody, you know, listen, if there's people that expect all the people to wait till they're 21, that's their prerogative. That's fine. Right. But I wasn't that way. I never said, you got to be this way. Go do your thing, but follow these parameters. So, sure. But I said, also, there are rules. You broke the rules. You got to pay the price.
You know? Yes.
And for that, it was 6 months. Don't do anything wrong. It gets expunged, that whole deal.
Did Mike spend that whole night in prison, though?
No, I got him bailed out. I knew some lawyers down there, so we got him bailed out. And then he helped bail out some of the other people as well. Because, again, there were 49 people arrested. Two were football players.
Well, Mike, thank you, because that's great advice. So now I have to figure out if I, A, know an attorney in the Syracuse area and the Chicago area, and if I don't know one, then I have to start becoming friends with a couple of attorneys.
You want to get to know one because, surprisingly enough, of the three kids, Mike was the only one who got arrested. Sid, did you ever get close? Sydney wrecked a moped one time, Stu, and her purse flew open. And how many fake IDs came out?
Oh my gosh, it was on campus. I lost my wallet on campus after I fell off this moped. I wasn't drunk on the moped. I was just driving it. And
good clarification.
Yes, and I think I had three fake IDs in there. I had two like fake ones. And then my older cousin, who we kind of look alike. Right. And so I got a call from the campus police office and they're like, hey, we're calling about Sydney Golick. We have your wallet, but I don't think they're fucking allowed to do this. They sifted through my wallet and they were like, we found a bunch of fake IDs. So you can come pick up your wallet, but none of the fake IDs are going to be in there. So I'm like, yep, no problem. And I texted my cousin right away. I was like, you got to go to the DMV and say you lost your license and send me another.
That was your only concern at the time.
Right? Pretty much.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, as long as I'm not getting like in trouble about this with the university, I was like, fine, take them.
Because we got the call too that said your daughter had fake IDs and we acted like, oh, okay, we'll take care of that. We're like, oh, fuck, okay.
My dad's like, why'd you lose your fucking wallet?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Did you have credit cards in there?
Did anyone care about the moped?
No, Jake did because it was Jake's.
Right,
so
of course.
Jake was pissed about it. So would you care if your daughter's got a fake ID?
No, they already have them, and I'm okay with it. Yeah.
Smart, honestly.
There you go. Yeah. Well done.
They have multiple fake IDs already. So, no, I would not get mad. I mean, Mike, they're going to college, so I've been there, I've done that, and I know what it feels like, and I had a fake ID, and so I'm not going to get mad at them. I reserve my getting mad for the really, really important stuff, and a fake ID is not something I'm going to get mad at.
Crashing
a bed, perhaps. I mean, maybe, you know, because then you're like, listen, you're putting your life in danger, you know. Like, pay attention. You were, Sid, what were you doing that you crashed the moped?
I'm honestly just not good at driving it.
Oh, okay.
Like, I was just
like,
you weren't checking
your phone or anything?
No,
or?
I just went over one of those little speed bumps and just fucking ate it off.
Did you ever get close to getting arrested?
Surprisingly, no, because my friend group,
you guys are fucking
nuts. We were not okay.
Yeah. And because that was the thing, Stu. There was Mike, Jake, and Sid.
Right.
Mike getting arrested and Jake or Sid not. Was a little surprising because Mike being the firstborn is always trying to do, you know, the right thing at all times.
Yes.
And he gets nailed 2 months into his freshman year. He lost his mulligan, by getting arrested.
Right. A mulligan. He has a mulligan. That's funny.
Yeah.
Sid, do you remember the names on your IDs? All of them?
Well, my cousin Jenna Golick. I was from Cleveland, Ohio. I don't remember my fake ID names. I'm sure I could go way back in my photos and I probably took a picture of it at one point, but I remember like when you order a fake ID, it comes, it's obviously very sketchy when they deliver it to your house. So mine got delivered in like a weird black box. And then it was inside like a jewelry box, which was inside like something else. I had to open up like four boxes to get to this fake ID. It was the sketchiest shit of all time, but I'll get back to you on the names. I'm not sure.
It'd be funny if like one of them were Jake or something.
Yeah, how about it? So Stu, for Rachel being a scholarship athlete, how does she have to, does she have to stay in a dorm, or is that where can she live where she wants?
First year, she stays in a dorm. They assign her a roommate. The coach does. So first year, she'll be in a dorm.
And then you're going to let her live off campus then, or?
I will let her live off campus. For me at Clark University, Mike, first year was dorm. Second, third, fourth, and fifth year. Okay. We don't need to get into fifth. Okay?
Yeah. Jesus. Yeah.
Dead shows, Mike. Yeah. So the fifth year, I was off campus the rest of the time, and I really enjoyed it. It's like, I feel like that's when you start finding out who you are, what you're all about, what it is you want to do, who your real friends are. And that's an invaluable experience, I feel like. So I'm assuming she'll be living with a bunch of the kids from the lacrosse team. So yeah, I'll be okay with that. I'll be okay with her off campus living.
So her freshman year, like at Notre Dame, you couldn't live with other football players. You had to live with other either athletes or regular students. She can live with, she can dorm with lacrosse players.
Well, no, not dorm, but I think off housing, sophomore, junior, senior.
Oh, then
year,
okay.
She wants to. Yes. Gotcha. Now I will say this. So freshman year, she's paired with a soccer player at Northwestern, a freshman incoming soccer player. I will tell you that we're from Florida, South Florida. Okay. We know what we don't know seasons down here, Mike. We only know hot. Okay. It's fucking cold up there.
And yes, it is.
Like I could the dorm that they have Rachel in, the athletic dorm, you don't have to go outside. There's a tunnel from the dorm to the indoor facility.
Oh my God.
Right. So the only reason I can imagine her not living off campus is because she just doesn't want to walk or jog.
I might never move out of that dorm.
Oh my God.
I know. It's amazing. It's an amazing.
Wow. All right. So as we wrap this thing up, what is your biggest concern of sending really both your daughters? They're both going off to college. Them going off to college and being away from you for the first time?
Playing time.
Oh, God.
I'm joking.
Are you, though?
Are you? Yeah. Well, no, I'm not. It's in my top five concerns, right, Sid?
It somewhat keeps you up at night.
My biggest concern, I'm concerned about a lot of things. I'm concerned about being an empty nester. I'm concerned about my wife. Because
it's just you and her now.
Yeah, we're both, Mike, you and I are both defined by our families, but we're also defined by our work, right? My wife is defined by being a mother, by our kids. And so I have those concerns about her just having just me around. Yeah. I'll be okay on that front. I feel like the lacrosse stuff will kind of keep us close and tie us all together. My biggest concern is just not being able to be there for them when they need me, because I've always been able to fix everything. I've always been able to be there for them on a moment's whim. This requires me hopping on a plane. Okay. This requires, so I guess my concern, and I have to let it go, is did we do a good enough job getting them to this point where they can now take the baton from here and do all the right things? And I know the answer is no, right? I know the answer is no. Like we did a great job, but I know, like, you did a great job, but Mike Golic Jr. gets arrested for a couple of months of college.
Yeah.
He's a responsible, great person. We all know him. We love him, but you make mistakes. And so I guess my biggest concern, fuck it. I'm just going to get right to it. It's boys. It's boys and me not being able to be there for them to protect them, even though I think they don't want me there anymore to protect them. They want to figure out life on their own. That's my biggest concern is boys, because I know how boys are. I know what college boys are thinking. I always tell my kids, hey, that kid you think that you... That boy, you think he loves you? He doesn't love you, okay? He doesn't know what love is. You don't know what love is. And in college, it's like that on steroids, man. And so I guess that's what concerns me the most. It's just college boys, because I was one, you know, and I know what I was like, and it wasn't pretty.
and it should concern you the most. That's it, because Sid got to see both sides of it when she was younger visiting, because she had so many friends on the football team. Tell them, like, what – if a couple broke up, how the girl took it and how the guy took it.
Oh my gosh. I mean, like, the girl would just be destroyed, as any girl would be. The guy is just like on to the next. Like, yeah, he just doesn't care. And like,
and his friends are like, congratulations.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, thank God. But like, I think that's why I was like, there was a lot of reasons I was single in college. But right. One of the reasons is that I was so close with my brothers and a lot of the guys on the team and their friends that like, they truly did just treat me like one of the guys. So they talked like guys around me. They right. talked about girls around me. So I was like, right. holy shit, the way they're talking about like the girl they're seeing, I'm like, I don't want to date any guy here. Like exactly. you're a great friend to me and you're really protective of me, but like, I ain't getting near any of the guys that like I had a crush on or
right.
whatever it may be. So
Sid, it's so well said, Mike, what I'm afraid of is me. That's it.
Yeah. No, it's very true. So I was actually happy. Sid kind of happy. She wasn't as much. She was like, I'm getting screwed here, you know, because where I could be meeting guys, they're all treating me like older brothers. You know, or like a younger sister. So yeah. I'm not getting the true experience of college.
It was tough sometimes because like naturally I just would like be more attracted to other athletes, but I'm like, that guy plays on the team with Mike and Jake. So that's not happening.
Yeah, that's like. Not. Plus, and then when that guy starts dating another girl, should be like, oh, a bitch or whatever.
I'm like, it's Mike right. and Jake's fault.
Yeah.
Like. I love that. Sid. Wait, yeah. So wait, were you there at the same time as Mike and Jake, right?
We all had 1 year together. Mike was a fifth year senior. Jake was a
senior before. It was the year they went undefeated, went to the national championship game. Oh, so wow. It was very cool.
And I was a freshman. So yeah, we all okay. had 1 year together. Yeah. And it was just chaos.
Absolute right? fucking yeah, but chaos.
If from a parent standpoint, Mike, I would imagine awesome. That having your sons there with her made you awesome. Feel so much better. Plus, she had the whole team protecting her.
Yes.
You know?
I felt good. That's why, again, when she would go to bars or to visit her brothers and they would be in the bars, it's her at 16, I didn't bat an eye because I knew she was safer there walking everywhere or in a cab than, like I said, coming home and going to a high school party where you're as stupid as can be at a high school party.
Yes.
You know, she never went to those because that was another thing. She was too tired from swimming right. to ever really go out at night. And I was very happy about that.
I will say for your daughters, too, a very important thing, I think, is to find actual, like, trusty guy friends. Like,
thank you.
Really ride or die guy friends in college. Like, right. one of them standing in my wedding in a few weeks on my side. And they will do fucking anything for you in college.
So Sid, it's such a great point. I'm going to tell you a funny story. When I took my girls, I dropped them off at their private school for the first time. And I saw this kid in Rachel's class. His name is Sam Harmelin. Okay. Looked like a great kid. And he is a great kid. But I found him. I identified him quickly. A trustworthy guy. There he is. Okay. Yeah. And if Rachel ends up with him, I'd be happy about
yeah.
that.
Okay? Yeah.
But what I did is I pulled him aside and I said, hey, you see this girl to your right over here? He said, I didn't know him. Now I know him. We're friends. The parents, we're all friendly. We've been away on spring break trips together. Oh, but I said, Sam, listen, you see that girl to your right? He said, yeah. I said, you see this $100 bill in my hand? He said, yeah. I go, put it in your pocket. Make sure nothing happens to her.
There you go.
And he did. And he did. And then I did the same thing for Emma. So the first thing I do when I get to Northwestern and Syracuse is I'm going to identify that guy in their dorm. I'm going to pay him a lot of money to make sure that he makes sure that nothing bad happens to Rachel or Emma. And hopefully, if they do get arrested, Mike, they will call him and not me. Okay?
Yeah. I was going to say, at Northwestern, though, when you pull out a $100 bill, they may look at it like it's a dollar. You may need to pull out a lot more than that. A
little more.
Surprised they haven't made a coin for this yet.
So this $100, you don't really want her protected much then, do you?
$1,000. Whatever yeah. amount of money it takes to have her protected, I will pay it. Gladly.
All right. Well, good. All right. Well, Stu, I hope this was somewhat enlightening a little bit
great.
For you.
Yes.
You know, as you're, and then when I say kids, I say daughters because it is definitely different yes. with daughters going than sons. So I am going to, because a lot of the spring I'll be at Notre Dame at our house there. I'm going to come up for a game because not so much to watch your daughter, which would be fun to do. Right. I need to see you in the stands and how you're going to act.
You'll film me. Yes.
Okay. 100%. Yeah.
Well,
they play.
They play Notre Dame every year. So I would like
oh,
you
good.
And Sid.
Yes.
I would like both you and Sid to come and check out Northwestern Notre Dame next year. Just watch me.
Okay? I'll be there.
Yeah. That sounds
good. Fan cam. Okay.
Yep. Fan cam on Stugatz.
All right. Well, good
just
deal.
Slowly losing his shit.
Yeah.
We might. Yes. Oh, slowly. It won't be that slow, Sid. I promise you. I have a question for you, Mike.
Yes.
One year the three kids went to Notre Dame together. Yeah. What did that bill look like? Holy shit.
It was, both boys were on scholarship, and Sid, you know, the non-football, non-football
yes.
basketball, they're on partials.
Right.
Mike and Jake were full. Sid was a partial. So let me tell you, it was the coolest thing in the world, though, to have them all there together. I think one of the coolest moments was they always have, you know, senior day, the last game, the last home
right.
game.
Yeah.
Well, Sid wasn't going to be there because she had a swim meet. So the last game before that, the last home game, Mike and Jake themselves after the game ran into the stands to hug Sid. It was very cool.
That's
yeah.
awesome. And yeah. Sid, when did you realize that boys being the boys in college, being a fan of your dad and his radio show would work to your advantage? When did you realize that?
Almost immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same with mine.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Oh,
yeah.
The boys like my dad.
Yeah.
It's not hard to figure out.
It can be a plus. You could use that to your advantage as well. Very much.
But
so.
Also, you don't want a guy to like your daughter just because of who you are. So you
Correct.
gotta be right. on the lookout for that.
Yeah.
So.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Okay. It's a lot of work, Stu. It's a lot of work, but we think you're kind of up for it.
Listen, Mike, I'm telling you right now, when the guy comes to me and says, "Hey, I want to marry your daughter," I'm sending them to Sid, okay?
Yeah. Sid, listen.
Sid's permission first.
While Ben's in med school, Sid's going to have some time on her hands. She can be rented out to be, you know, a bodyguard or a spy.
It'll cost you, but I'm up to it. So
I think what Sid's great at, her biggest strength is seeing through the bullshit. And so she'll know if he's a good guy or not, right, Sid?
Yeah. Oh, my God. I'll be able to tell within 2 minutes.
Yeah. Right. I only care if he's an NFL prospect. So, Sid, get on this for me, okay?
I got you.
Oh, God.
I got you.
All right, Stu, we appreciate the time. That was very nice of you to do it, man.
All right. It was fun, guys. Thank you.
And as always, we're sorry in advance.
I am sorry for all the shit I did in college.
Oh,
no, you're not.
I'm not.